Deep dive into the world of science with Nature Plus. From the vastness of the distant star systems to the intricacies of infectious diseases due to climate change, we've got you covered. Enjoy access to over 55 cutting-edge journals, breaking scientific news, and over 1,000 new articles every month. Whether you're a seasoned researcher or just curious, Nature Plus simplifies complex studies. Plus, it's all available right at your fingertips on nature.com. Nature Plus, the key to unlocking the world's most significant scientific advances. Subscribe today at go.nature.com/plus.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, listeners. Benjamin here. This is a special podcast extra ahead of tomorrow's usual Nature podcast. It's Nobel Prizes week, and today the three winners who shared the physics prize were announced. One of these winners is Didier Coulot from the University of Geneva in Switzerland and the University of Cambridge in the UK. Just a couple of hours after the prize announcement, Didier took part in a press conference here in the UK, so I popped along to chat to him and started by asking him where he was when he found out he was a Nobel Prize winner.
Yeah, well, actually, I was in a meeting with my colleagues, and it's a science meeting about a project we're going together. And then I got a phone call from Cambridge, so I just answered. I said, maybe it's just some admin office. And then I went out, and that's how I learned the news that I got awarded the Nobel Prize. I couldn't believe that, and had a kind of a blackout for some times. And then I went up in the room, and then all my colleagues, they clap, and they, because they realized something had happened, and they Google it, and they realized I was part of the Nobel Prize laureate. And I was extremely glad of this, because this is a very nice collaboration having with these people, and some of them are my former PhD students. So that was a perfect assembly, I think, to have this first emotional impact moment when you try to digest and understand what's going on, really.
I mean, how are you feeling right now? I mean, is this how you expected today to pan out?
Well, I quickly give up to control anything today, so I'm just following a bit the flow, like a leaf in the river. I feel much better right now because I understand a bit better what was happening, and I'm very happy to communicate about the science I'm doing.
And I guess you must have spoken to your family. What have they said?
Well, they're very proud and they're very excited. And my parents, in a way, they always get the feeling that they were expecting that one day. So a lot of support from my family. My family is fantastic. I mean, I'm working like a horse. I'm working way too much because I'm passionate. And they're very passionate with me, and they understand that that's my world, and they understand this. And I'm trying to do the best I can with my family to take care of the best I can. My wife, she's fantastic. I mean, we had a long chat this morning because she's in Boston right now, because I came just a couple of days here in Cambridge for another meeting. I'm looking forward to go back to her and then having a proper celebration and having time to just digest all this.
Well, yeah, let's talk about your science a little bit then. Yeah. So you won for your part in the discovery of the first exoplanet, so yes. The first planet from outside our solar system that you published in Nature in 1995, I believe.
Yes, indeed, yes.
Maybe you can tell me a bit about that.
Well, I think that's my PhD project. It was to build an equipment and to build the software around the equipment that was analyzing the data, with the goal to be able to detect an orbiting planet on stars. It takes a long time to detect a planet, and since I was about 6 months short of the end of my PhD, it was clear that I had no way to do that. But I found the prospect to start a program was thrilling enough. And anyway, Michel Mayor was going in sabbatical, and he gave me the key of the equipment, and off we go. Well, you can imagine my surprise when I saw something weird on a star that was nothing special to me. It's called 51 Peg. And I kind of panicked because I thought something was wrong in the equipment. And at the end, I realized that was not the equipment, that was a star, actually, that was telling me something. And it took me some time to realize that the only thing that the star could tell me is there's a planet orbiting around that star. I was so afraid to be wrong that I really waited to be sure myself before talking to Michel. And Michel had this fantastic answer. We say, oh, yeah, maybe, and let's have a look. When he came back, we worked together on the data, and we established and formal evidence that this is actually a planet. And Michel got more and more convinced. The fun part of it is much later, Michel admitted that actually when I told him there's a planet, I found a planet, he didn't believe it, but he wanted to be nice with me. So I think it gives you a little bit of the style, how lucky I was to be able to work with Michel Mayor. He was a great supervisor. It was a fantastic adventure we had together. And off we go, and then we made the announcement. I think for a couple of years, not very much people believed about these planets. It took some time to really ramp up and for people to understand there's plenty of planets, and then the field exploded, really, practically. And then we started to have hundreds of them, and here we are right now with thousands of planets. And it's still a challenge to understand this diversity right now, but that's how it is.
Yes, the field of searching for exoplanets has exploded. What questions have they answered thus far, and what questions remain to be answered about them?
Well, I think in 1995 we answered the question, is there a planet? And we say yes. And now we answer the question, is it common to have planets orbiting stars? And the answer is yes. Actually, most of the stars, they do have planets. But actually, we have not found many planets that look like the Earth right now. It doesn't mean they don't exist. It means that we may need to work a bit harder to find them. And then we also need to find out what exactly are these planets we have detected. Are they like Jupiter? Are they like the Earth? Are they like Neptune's? Are they between them something different? And that's really the focus right now of the field. And one day, eventually, we'll find something interesting in the atmosphere of a rocky planet. And we may ask ourselves, have we found some evidence for life on this system?
You must have been involved in the discovery of hundreds of these planets. I mean, does it still excite you to find new ones?
My fascination for the field is intact. It has no change. And in my mind, in my heart, I still feel like I am a student. And I keep learning every day. And I keep being surprised and amazed by what I'm finding. So, and I think this is certainly shared by all my colleagues. I think we are working in an amazing field, which is extremely active in terms of discovery potential. And that's certainly why the field keeps growing and interests some of the students and the young people, because they realize that there are so much to find. And I used to say always the same, welcome in, we need you.
So do you think this has been one of the big impacts of your work then, is to inspire others to get involved?
Yes, I think the biggest impact is the trigger. So we opened the field. So once the field was open, then everybody wanted to be part of it. So yes, that's the main impact we have. The second impact we have is to demonstrate that there are planets different from the one of the solar systems. And we should maybe reconsider the picture we had about the formation of the solar system. It may be slightly different than we had in mind. And it keeps being true right now, even today.
And you mentioned that ever so slightly about looking for life on other planets. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think we're doing that today. I mean, there are serious programs right now and serious people trying to design equipment in order to look for some specific aspect you may find in the atmosphere. You can think about the oxygen, but you can think of other elements that are telling you a story about life. There are also people trying to demonstrate that life can be done by chemistry in the lab. So all this is going on today. I mean, this is serious research right now. So I would not be surprised in the next 30 to 50 years, there's new equipment being available that will be able to directly address these questions. Whether they will find or not, that's another story. But I think the idea to look for life is a very serious business. And most of the scientists you will working in the field, they will all be convinced that there must be life elsewhere. It's just impossible to have in mind that the chemistry of life has happened on Earth and nowhere else, because the chemistry is the same everywhere in the universe. So they must have happened somewhere else as well.
Well, let's bring things back to Earth then for a minute. You yourself have come into a fairly significant amount of prize money today.
Any thoughts? Yeah, I heard about that, yes.
Well, how's that going to change things?
I hope it will not change too much, because I love the way I'm living right now. So I have no idea. This is something I will need to digest, but I hope it's not going to change very much, because I don't really want my life to change. I like my life how it is today.
Is there one thing that you'd really like to buy?
Yeah, and this morning I'm probably with my bike. I think I'm going to buy a new bike.
The Nature Podcast is supported by Nature Plus, a flexible monthly subscription that grants immediate online access to the science journal Nature and over 50 other journals from the Nature portfolio. More information at go.nature.com/plus.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.